Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Flexibility is great. That's why there's yoga. Flexibility for your insurance coverage is great too. That's why there's United Healthcare Insurance Plans. Underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, United Healthcare Insurance Plans offer flexible, budget-friendly coverage for medical, vision, dental, and more. One of these plans may be right for you if you're, say, between jobs, coming off your parents' plan, turning a side hustle into a full hustle, or even missed open enrollment. Want more flexibility? Find out more about United Healthcare Insurance Plans at uh1.com.
The Square Ball Podcast.
Welcome to the show. It's brought to you in association with Levi Solicitors, isn't it, Michael?
It is, yeah.
LeviSolicitors.co.uk/thesquareball for your 10% discount. Apart from the big three services that everyone knows about, wills, probate, conveyancing, what's your favourite one that Levi's do?
The professional negligence, definitely.
Professional negligence. Professional.
I think this is what the Wolves fans were calling for, wasn't it? There was one Wolves fan appealing to Twitter that a Wolves fan lawyer may want to take on a pro bono case to prosecute referees. Like, get them done in some way.
Yeah, report them to the...
It wasn't technically what they were going to get them done for, but they needed getting done.
There'd been a lot of professional negligee, hadn't there?
That's the one.
They needed that sorting out.
Moscow White's here as well, as me and Michael. Usual three. I think there's a lot of anticipation built into this episode. When Leeds win, we get to have a bit of fun. And B, when you see the sort of meltdown we've witnessed in relation to this, which has been quite something, hasn't it? But without further ado, should we just get straight into the clips? Because, I mean, normally we would sort of introduce what the show is about, but I think it's been put best. Is it Talking Wolves who've done this? Mm-hmm. Kindly done our intro for us this week.
And I'm sure there'll be four old men on a Leeds podcast that will dissect everything I said and have a laugh with it.
Just bisect it, so we're cutting it once. Yep.
What makes you think he's talking about us?
Three old men, actually. Yep. Three.
And when you add up our ages, it's only 124 collectively. It's not too bad.
You've overestimated that. I think he's fallen into the trap. This beard actually hides an incredible visage of youth. I had to grow this because I kept getting ID'd buying cigarettes. Yeah. So that's the only reason I deliberately make myself look older than I actually am, because I'm always being mistaken for being younger than I actually am. So this sort of drew me into a safe realm where poppers and fags, I can buy all that I need.
Good lad.
Same with me. I have to.
Do you want to reach across and ruffle your hair there? Not you.
I have to bick this on an almost hourly basis to keep it at this level of shine. just a little bit like Moscow, just to try and add a few years on.
Maybe he was talking about a different bisecting podcast, though. There's no evidence that that's us.
Well, what about this then? Is this further evidence?
I lost my head. I think it was last year when there's a Leeds podcast, and I don't know. I can't remember the name.
Square Ball.
Probably when they chop up all the Wolves back, the reactions.
Honestly, Dave, I've had so many. I think Finn got caught as well on it as well.
So because we do the fans react, I sorted their podcast out for them. That they had it, and I lost my head. So I am hoping that if we win, I'll mention it on my reactions to see if they put it in their podcast.
Narrator's voice. Didn't win.
And heads were lost.
Heads were indeed lost. Yes, that is us. That's the show. And we have to say as well, I think we have to doff the cap, don't we, at this point, and say the self-awareness, having a laugh at yourself, is what it's all about.
I mean, we're more reasonable than some Wolves fans, but we can be pretty unreasonable, can't we?
I mean, that's the point, isn't it?
Can we?
It's all about head retention. Once that's gone, you're floundering from that point on. So as long as you retain head, then you're in a reasonably safe ground. But it does not seem, judging by what is coming, that Wolves fans as a generality, I think heads maybe missing.
So that was Connor, wasn't it, in the preview?
Yes.
Having a little chuckle there about the prospect of appearing on Propaganda this week.
Hi, Connor. It'll happen to you. Yeah. You may be young now. So another 10 years of watching Wolves.
Jaded, cynical. Anyway, this was the team after the game.
Once again, Wolves have been cheated, robbed out of a clear penalty early doors. We should have had a penalty. The Semedo chance. I was on the opposite side of the ground. I was in the south bank. It was down the north bank end, and I thought it was a penalty. VAR checked it. But once again, Don't even give the referee the opportunity to go to the monitor. Oh, it's not clear and obvious. Well, that rule for me is a load of bollocks. The whole clear and obvious thing. For me, it should be, if this is a game-changing incident, a penalty for me is a game-changing incident, it should be taken seriously. I've looked at replays. It seems and looks, it sounds like it's a penalty. And again, a massive opportunity for Wolves to get themselves back in the game. But obviously, it wasn't given to us.
It wasn't, was it?
No. Mm. Sounded like a penalty, did it?
Mm. Yes, a new one, is that?
Did it smell like a penalty?
It felt like a penalty.
It felt like one.
I like the opening salvo on that as well, where it's like, I thought it was a penalty, and I was bloody miles away where I couldn't see a thing. I was at the other end of the pitch, and I thought it was a penalty. Right, well, maybe not, but then I suppose if you've then seen it on replays and still sticking to your first instincts that you observed through a telescope from a different stadium, then maybe, I mean,
we were listening on the visual radio.
Mm.
Didn't look like a penalty to me.
No, no. I mean, speaking of the visual radio and David Phillips, shall we hear how he's getting on?
Oh, Philip.
Philo.
If you're not familiar with who we're talking about here, this was the guy who was on the international feed, because the Premier League put in teams, don't they, commentary teams, into every game. Every game is a broadcast standard game.
You say broadcast standard.
Well, not always.
There was a bloke there.
We should say thank you to Totally Leeds as well for basically doing your job for you here. You were going to put together this compilation, but they did it for you. Totally Leeds.
But we'll hear from. I think we'll choose to hear from him in little bits throughout the show.
I mean, we don't
talk. As we did during the game. So you get like a 5 minutes of football, and then
I mean, to be fair, this could easily go for 90 minutes the way this has gone this weekend. So anyway, here's Philo. He was the co-commentator on the Premier League worldwide feed, and here's what he had to say.
Sure, that's a penalty. Why haven't we been given it?
It's a mystery to me.
We.
More from him later.
Why have we not been given it?
Indeed. Well, we've got plenty of Wolves to get into, so let's do the game mega mix. Then this is how Leeds fans saw it, is it?
Yeah, there was an awful lot of stress came through in this, which I think was felt in the studio.
It was quite a stressful game in the sense that it always felt completely out of control, didn't it? But when you get to the end of it, I think, as we said on the match ball, it felt like a lot of fun when you know what the outcome is.
Can we please play Wolves every week? Because I think we could have deflected a couple more into our own net and let them score a couple more from 40, and we still would have found a way to win that game. We did everything we could to shit in our own nest, and we still managed to win by two.
When Wolves got it back 3-2, I just went up into my room, put music on, and just hid from it all. Couldn't cope with it this weekend. But yeah, this club is something else. I think Rob said midweek that we're becoming a normal club, and I think the players heard that and decided that they needed to put that right. So thanks, Rob. I think you've just taken about another 10 years of my life. So on to Arsenal. It's so much fun with a win.
I've just turned 44 years old. I've got asthma. I can't keep going through games like that every bloody week. Jesus Christ. We looked a lot better going forward. We took chances when they came, but we did ride our luck at times for that. The last 20 minutes, oh, geez, just dragged on and on. And the VAR decision at the end as well. Walking back to my car afterwards, it was great to hear Wolves fans complaining about time wasting by Melier and the referee not helping them and stuff. That's just like the ultimate piss take for Wolves fans to be complaining about that. But yeah, it was a game we had to get something from. We got a win. Those results helped us as well. We're up to 14th, just fucking end the season now, please. Jesus.
This team is going to kill me. Like, that was just 97, however many minutes it ended up being, of just pure, unadulterated stress. Like, we're the only team in the world where we can go 3-0, like 3-0. And I'm sat on the edge of my seat going, there's no way this can last. How will it go wrong? And then it went wrong. And then it went right.
I know there's a bit of a funny joke among the fan base that Leeds United are bad for your health, you know, not good for your health, etc. Well, when the fourth goal went in, I celebrated a little bit too much. I went really, really dizzy, really lightheaded. My legs turned to jelly, and I had to sit down on my seat and just get my breath back and just calm down a bit. And it genuinely got me thinking that I need to get a will sorted. Does anybody know any good solicitors where I can get that done?
Shout out to Rob for saying that we were too normal last week, two-thirds of the way through the second half. My smartwatch was telling me that I had to do breathing exercises. That's great. Maybe my cardiologist would prefer if, you know, a little bit of normalcy as far as Leeds is concerned. But the Firpo penalty chance, I don't know how you watch football every week and feel that that had to be a penalty, feel hard done by that. Last time we played them, literally their goalkeeper didn't get within a foot of the ball and punched Rasmus in the head, and that wasn't given. So I'm not really that surprised, and I don't really feel any sympathy for them. Traore, I mean, why go to the gym 70 hours a week to look like the Incredible Hulk if you're going to be upset just because someone pulls your coattails? And Ayling's yellow versus Dawson's non-yellow was kind of crazy. Just felt the referee was ridiculously inconsistent there, but anyway.
Get in, look at that sexy fucking table. What a weekend this could be. It could be the one that swings it in our favour, I think. It looks like none of that bottom nine group will win a game this weekend except for us, which means that instead of being kind of level on points with the Southamptons and Bournemouths at the foot of that group, we're going to be finishing the weekend up with the Wolves and the teams at the top of that group instead. It means we can go to Arsenal next week and lose and not be cut adrift, probably not be in the bottom three. And it completely changes the complexion of them two games against Palace and Forest, because instead of needing wins to close the gap and keep in touch with the group, two wins there now could take us out of it.
Ah, the hope of the Premier League. You could go to Arsenal and lose and it doesn't matter anymore.
Looking forward to losing the next one.
It doesn't matter. Regarding Rob, he's not here to defend himself, so of course we can go in on him. He's young, he's under 30, is Rob, which again, his name absolutely in the mud with those boys at the start who were saying that we were four old men. I'm sure Rob would not necessarily agree, but we will break Rob. You can tell he's saying daft youthful things like Leeds are normal.
It was something I had considered under Gracia. It's looked like we're doing more normal pattern of play stuff, like using the full width of the pitch, trying to maintain shape and that sort of stuff. That did look normal.
Yeah.
What happened at the weekend? I don't know. It was sort of normal for a large period, but then there were so many changes and there was a goal every 20 seconds, it felt like. So it was an ever-changing picture, wasn't it? And with the red cards and all, it felt like there was not enough time for a normal game to break out in that second half.
That was the second half. Up until the hour, at 3-0, it was feeling too normal, like dangerously normal. Watford, normal. I ended up comparing it in the reports on the blog about last season when we beat Watford 3-0 and everybody was like, done it, safe, all fine. We just easy win, go to a team down the bottom and just roll through them 3-0 without any fuss. Because that was the thing about Watford away last year, was it was kind of a bit boring, but got the business done and really felt like a good result. And in the summer, LUTV, or actually it was the start of the season, they had Rodrigo and Jack Harrison looking back at moments from playing together. And Watford was one where they showed some of the goals and they were looking at each other going like, thought it was done then, didn't we? And like, yep, that was a mistake. And so I was a little bit worried at 3-0. I was like, this is all going too easy. You know, you just bring Rasmus on and he scores with his first touch. That's not making life as difficult as Leeds life normally is.
Bit on Leedsy.
And within 5 minutes of that, the ball is sailing over Melier's head and it's going in, and then Traore's on the pitch and it's all going wrong. And Melier's making that super save from Jimenez, which kept it to, it was still 3-1 at that point. That was amazing stuff. But a lot of that stuff is worth bearing in mind. A lot of Wolves generated a lot of the madness in this game. They were the one doing all the red card tackles and should it be a second yellow? Should it be this? Should it be a penalty?
Well, hang on a minute. All good points, Mosco, but this is what Dave Phillips has to say about it.
And once again, VAR doesn't do him any favours.
Yeah, there you go.
Well, I mean, that was one of the part of the increased madness was the second goal as well. And I feel like this needs throwing into the argument with all the Wolves fans where the, oh, we should have had this, we should have had that. What were the Wolves players complaining about on Ayling's goal? Because five of them ran to the referee going, "That you can't give that. You can't give that. Go and look at VAR." Look, absolutely nothing wrong with it whatsoever. Ayling had just waltzed away from his marker, got to the back post, got on the back, the end of Mark Rocker's very, very good delivery. Needs noting that we took a good corner. Nothing wrong with it, but they were complaining about that as much as they were complaining about everything else. And at some point, when it gets to the end of the game and there's a tug on Traore's shirt, referees probably remembering like, this is like when they were moaning about the corner. It's like, it's the 97th minute. Just fuck off. Just fuck off.
I said that on the Phil Hay show, but not in quite such colourful language, in that maybe they saw like, yeah, they saw the shirt and they thought, you've been at this all game. Yeah. Just pack it in. You don't help yourself sometimes.
Stop, like, that was Traore's big mistake, is stopping and going like, right, I'm having a free kick for that, am I? Like, well, no, you'd fucking not, because I'm the referee and you are just... shining from your arms.
Moscow, it's all fine and well you saying all this biased nonsense. What we need is the view of some objective journalists, I think, don't you?
David Phillips? Or someone else?
We'll come back to Philo in a bit. We don't want to overkill him, do we?
Well, I know he's got a lot to say. Yeah. He's got an awful lot to say about everything. So are you thinking of...
going to see our friends up there, the objective journalists at the Express and Star.
Of course, those guys.
These are the guys who caught me in a selfie at the start of the season. I've just remembered. They were in the press box at Leeds, and when Wolves scored, they took a photo of themselves, like mock celebrating, so that they could seem like they're down on the kids on Twitter. And when they posted it, you can see me in between them in the background, as like with a face of stone, a face of old stone, according to their friends from Wolverhampton. So yeah, I immediately don't like these characters without hearing anything they've got to say, because I never signed a model release for that.
I hope Nathan's all right.
Nathan was struggling.
Was he? Yeah.
In this video, he was very, very close to the verge of tears throughout on the prep sheet. I've included a couple of stills of his face as he's describing it.
There is, in that right-hand one, and we'll see if we can add this to the video version as well, of he's looking like, you know when a kid kind of gets upset about something but they're trying to fight back tears and they don't want to cry?
Yeah, they did that to me at the start of the season, so it's revenge.
He's fighting it back. Anyway, here's what he had to say at the start. Should we go for
that? On the intro, they bookend this whole thing with something vaguely sane, but the middle bit, not so much.
I'm going to say something and then completely contradict everything I've said.
We've only got Wolves to blame, apart from the next 15 minutes, which you're going to have to listen to.
Wolves 2, Leeds 4. This could be a long video. Sum that up, because I'm lost for words. On a variety of subjects, to be honest, Liam, but I've got to say, and I'll tweet this after the game, regardless, and we're going to go through what was fair, what was unjust, what was right, what was a complete disgrace. Wolves cannot blame anyone else apart from themselves. They have conceded 4 goals at home to Leeds United, who were scraping for their lives at the bottom of this Premier League after a defeat against Bournemouth. That is completely unacceptable for me.
So there we go. Objective journalists. Yeah.
End the video there.
There you go. It's a very fair...
Conceded 4 goals. Oh, all right. Say 3.
To be fair, with all that noise going in the background, I'll probably say that's as can this, because whenever nobody's going to be able to hear us with the building site going on. That would do this later.
But go on, they did.
Well, yeah, they did. And they got onto the penalty, didn't they?
Pretty
Which
quickly.
Is this? Is this the injustice or the complete disgrace? Of how we're classifying
these
things?
I think this is unjust.
Is it the crime against humanity?
I think the disgrace comes later. Just unjust.
Well, I mean...
Is it the criminal negligence?
Before
Is
we
it
hear,
the miscarriage of justice?
Before we hear them on the penalty, we need Dave Phillips to...
Just check in on him.
Just to remind us what we should be looking out for here.
Sorry, Tony, but why didn't he have a look with the penalty decision?
It's the question everyone's asking, and here's what Nathan and Liam had to say.
Look, we've seen the replays. It looked like a foul to me. It looked like to the rest of the media box, it looked like a foul. We've seen the replays. I can half understand the referee not giving it. But again, we're going back to VAR. And for me, that's a nailed-on penalty.
And it's a very brief check, isn't it? Very brief VAR check, and then we get on as usual. I mean, I think it's a penalty as well. I agree with you. Again, similarly to what you think, you know, it's not quite as clear-cut as, let's say, the Newcastle one last week, but, you know, we're pulling the straws here. I mean, it's a penalty. I think from the tweets I've got, the majority of broadcasters in and around the building as well are all saying it's a penalty. Lopetegui and his staff clearly think it's a penalty. The analysts up in the box here all think it's a penalty. What else can I say?
It's incredible. It's incredible, really.
Steve Ball thinks it was a penalty.
And I'd love to see the journalists that were in and around the stand, the ones that were around it rather than in it.
Mm.
Why have they been locked out?
I've not got the clip of it, actually, but at one point during the commentary, Phillips did say he said he'd like to see Rodrigo playing in and around Patrick Bamford as well.
In him.
Which is
graphic.
Which is quite the image. Taking team bond into a whole other level there.
Just some words I want to pull out of that. I half understand the referee not giving it, which by definition means it's a 50-50 shot.
Yeah. I've watched it loads of times and I still can't really tell.
But then the next bit Dan's going to point out is that when they say it's nailed on.
Yeah.
Yeah. It's completely... I mean, they're basically saying everybody that they know who is a Wolves fan or works for Wolves thinks it was a penalty, and everybody who doesn't.
What's the word, confirmation bias?
Yeah, I think so. And it was, I don't know, it just seems, I don't know why everybody's so upset about it.
It was piss weak, wasn't it?
It could perhaps have been given as a penalty, but it's not like it was a blatantly late tackle, and it's not like Firpo was going over the ball trying to foul him. If it was given as a penalty, it would have been for being a little bit late in the tackle. The way that it's so difficult to see in the replays whether he made contact on the ball or not means if he was late on the tackle, he was late on the tackle by about, you know, fractions of a second. In the end, like, does that really, I know it matters because it's like, was it a penalty or was it not a penalty? But you've got to allow defenders to challenge for a ball in the penalty area. And if they are within a fraction of a second of winning it and there's no damage done to the other player and the ball just ends up going where it was going anyway, I don't think Firpo managed to influence the direction of what Semedo was doing with the ball. And it just, like, play on, for fuck's sake. It's a contact sport. It's not, and we can, every aspect of this penalty incident gets trumped by Saar punching Christensen at the start of the season. Because there's two completely different things. One was a player being punched in the face off the ball. The other one is a challenge for trying to win a tackle in the penalty area. Neither were given as penalties. Shut up.
do you think they will shut up?
I don't think they will shut up. Should we find out?
And then explain to me what happened at the end. Explain to me, first of all, the fourth goal. Then it goes to VAR. The pull. We can actually see the pull back of the shirt. We can see that. It's just the most obvious foul in a million years. Referee comes over, looks at it, sees it. F you, Wolves. I'm not giving this. I'll give you the goal.
Honestly.
I'll give you the goal. And then pandemonium on the bench. And then it just goes from bad to worse.
From bad to worse. If I don't laugh, I'll cry.
Yeah.
And that's why it is laughable. So, you see all of this erupting in front of us. We're watching replays. Think, what bloody hell's going on here? Somerville pulls back on the Dharma. I mean,
it's literally like that. I mean, it's that.
It was rocker.
I mean, it is a foul.
It's a foul.
If you don't laugh, you'll cry.
It was rocker pulled him back, not Somerville. They've watched that many replays over and over again, been through it frame by frame. They don't even know who pulled the shirt.
Sounds like there's a Pruder film, isn't it?
Liam's trying his best to encourage Nathan to laugh rather than cry there, isn't it? Because he's going, if you don't laugh, you'll cry. And I can see...
I don't understand you while you cry.
I can see where it's heading. So why don't we have a laugh about it?
Are they like manhandling each other at this point?
Yeah, Nathan's got him. He's demonstrating a shirt pull.
Right.
Although for some reason he demonstrates it by, like, grabbing him around the neck and throwing him about a bit.
I mean, it was a foul and they should have had a free kick, but
funny though, isn't it?
Dead funny.
Traore tried to have it both ways though, didn't he? Because he didn't go down because, honestly, Mark Rocker tugging a bit of fabric around his midriff is not going to bring down somebody of the size of Traore. So he shrugs that off. He's got the ball at his feet, but then he sees Somerville coming and then goes, actually, I think I'll have this free kick, please. And football doesn't work that way. It's down to the referee to decide. And then looking at the replay, was there enough on the shirt tug to impede Traore? Did he stop Traore from doing anything that he wanted to do? No.
Some press-ups.
What stopped Traore from doing what he wanted to do was the fact that he just decided he'd ref the game himself. And you don't get to make those decisions. And I hope it was an FU to Wolves. I really do hope that the referee just went, because the easy option, Leeds are going to win 3-2 anyway. Easy option is just go, you know, just to keep it all quiet. And they've been on at the PGMOL all week. And we've had loads of letters from them. And Howard Webb's been up here like three times a week trying to calm them all down. I'll just rule this goal out and then they'll all be happy. Leeds still get a win and it's all fine. I've had no real trouble from the Leeds bench. They'll be okay with it. They'll stay quiet. But no, the decision was, actually, fuck you, Wolves. I am embracing the chaos, especially because it happened right in front of their bench as well. So he's like, yeah, they've all seen this. They've all got the replays that they can sit on the watch with the iPads now. Yeah, I'm just going to fuck this up.
It was a bit like the old-fashioned parenting, where if a child cried, a parent would say, you want to cry? I'll give you something to cry about. He was like... The goal stands.
The way they've been on at me all game, they're going to be going on about that penalty all week anyway. I may as well give them this as well.
I was going to say that.
Also, I'll send someone off too.
Yeah.
Even if they had disallowed it, they'd still have been moaning about the penalty.
Yep. Yeah. So fuck it. Just give it all against them.
Yeah. Grenade.
Yeah. Do it all at once.
Anyway, yeah, just talking about the referees and the PGMOL, they're obviously going to do something about it, aren't they?
Are the PGMOL or Howard Webb going to come out and say anything publicly? No, they'll just say, sorry guys, you know, we'll try not to do it next time. It's not good enough. And then
your
obviously...
Premier League status is on the line, every single thing counts, but sorry.
I hope they don't say sorry. I hope they say, fuck you, Wolves. Because they want to say, what's the explanation for not overruling Leeds' fourth goal? We didn't think it was a free kick.
Also,
that's it. That's the end.
Because funny.
Well, they're not going to say because funny if they actually do. YOLO.
They should write a sincere letter, but then the first letters all spell out something funny.
But you know, you hear it a lot.
Stop
where,
crying.
You hear it a lot where people are like, oh, we need them to come out and explain these decisions. And if they do explain the decision, it will be like this. The incident in the 97th minute was reviewed by the referee at the monitor. He looked at the footage and decided he did not think it was a free kick. Mm. So he gave the goal. The end. Well, what's the decision-making process behind that? Well, in his brain, he looked at it and he decided in his mind that he didn't want to give a free kick because he didn't think it was one. So it was fine. How much more explanation do you need?
I mean, with both the penalty and the pull at the end, in a game, if you're giving free kicks for that level of contact, you are probably looking at an extra 20 or 30 stoppages a game, aren't you? Because that sort of stuff always happens.
You're looking at Brendan Aaronson's whole life.
I mean, he never gets any, does he?
Well, exactly. So how like, Brendan Aaronson was
which
left
I,
in a...
Which I agree with, I have to say.
Yeah, he was left on a heap on the floor several times during this game, as I imagine he is just like during his day-to-day life. And those weren't given as free kicks. He's having to like scramble after somebody as they're running away with the ball. Just as Traore would have done if he hadn't been standing there going, oh, well, I'm obviously going to get a free kick for this because I was on loan at Barcelona. It's just not, it's play to the whistle. That's all it needs to come down to.
Indeed. But I think it is more complex than that. And, you know, Nathan and Liam are, I mean, what they do here is beautifully externalise what they are suggesting.
We've got fans outside before we go, using the C word. Different C word I was using, to be honest, when I was watching that referee pumped. Using the C word with referees, with VAR, with everything that's going on. Where do you stand on that?
We cannot stand here as objective journalists and accuse referees of bias or corruption. I think that's unwarranted. But you have to question, and people have to start talking publicly why so many high-profile decisions are going against Wolves. Well, we'll reiterate my point from last week at Newcastle. It's not only Wolves. It has happened to other clubs, and it will happen to other clubs. But a lot of the biggest decisions this season, biggest errors, have gone against Wolves.
Do you feel there's unconscious bias at this moment in time? And what I'm saying is you're, you know, Wolves are obviously very vocal on referees during the game, after the game. Absolutely.
Yep. Yeah, they're not suggesting it because they're objective journalists, Moscow.
Objective journalists have just been standing there crying.
Yeah, but you do have to ask questions. You do have to ask why so many of the major decisions have been going against them. I mean, is there recency bias here, perhaps? Because, as you said before, their goalkeeper punched our defender in the head on the opening day of the season and didn't get punished for it when they should have done.
It's also the trying to bring it all into like a together is like, do you think there's this, people are talking about this corruption or bias against Wolves, that a lot of decisions, high profile decisions, are going against Wolves, but they're also going against a lot of other teams as well. And maybe that's part of the conspiracy against Wolves. I don't really understand what they're getting at
conspiracy is to be bad for everyone.
Mm. Well, yeah, which if it is a conspiracy, they're doing that very well. I would go along with that.
From looking at some of the recent decisions, did you see the Newcastle one where Jimenez went around Pope?
Yeah,
Pope took a bad touch. He went around him. Probably was a foul. Jimenez, as he does, did go down like a sack of shit. I think Pope like got his shoulder onto him or something. It probably a penalty, probably a red card. They got that wrong. But at the time of that, Newcastle fans were kind of suggesting an anti-Saudi conspiracy. But then Wolves obviously are owned by the Chinese.
Yeah.
So we're getting a ranking. So
right,
the Americans at the top.
Yeah.
Then the Saudis, Chinese at the bottom.
Where are the Italians? That's us, isn't it?
Well, I think that we're being lumped in with Americans.
It's minority ownership. We're Italian-American.
Mm. Okay. The mafia, basically, then. That's what you're saying?
Actually, it's all starting to make sense, isn't it?
All making sense. There was a thread I saw linked on to one of their forums.
Oh, I saw this, yeah.
Jesus, some of the stuff on
absolutely
there.
Absolutely. I mean, I know, look, it's a bit like Twitter, isn't it? Where you vocalise all your worst anxieties and fears and stupid ideas and all that. But that was really mad, wasn't it?
Yeah, the idea that there was the American owners had all got together. And even though American owners are not the American government and the Chinese owners of Wolves are not the Chinese government, they want them to do badly because of international politics stuff.
Mm.
So the American owners have lent on the referees to make sure bad decisions are being given against a Chinese club because of world politics.
And they've paid off Wolves strikers to not score for a year as well. That's all part of it as well, isn't it? That, you know, and that's
deciding to leave Luke Ayling at the back post.
Yeah, and it's why Ruben Neves was taken off. It wasn't a bad managerial decision. The photocopy version of Brian Ferry that they've got on the sideline didn't just like take off their best player for no reason.
One for the kids.
It was instructions from on high.
Again, once again, all good points. However,
Even at normal speed, I thought that was a penalty.
He did, even at normal speed.
It was about 3 days after it at that point, wasn't it?
Listen, this conspiracy, though, I mean, we've obviously tapped into the government-level operation there, Michael. It runs quite deep, doesn't it?
Yeah, well, I went trying to find other people talking about this.
I've just realised the algorithm's going to be hammering us for this, by the way.
I mean, obviously, I couldn't find anyone talking about it being a penalty,
right,
which makes you think, doesn't it?
It does make you think. Do you know what? I'm not suggesting there's a conspiracy. I'm just asking questions. That's all I'm doing. Just asking questions.
You can understand the Wolves head coach frustration with officials at the moment because of that history. Is he right to be frustrated tonight?
Not today. I can understand why in previous games, but today I don't think the argument's there because I think that...
He thought this was a penalty.
Yeah, I disagree. I think we watched it. And there seems to be some contact from Firpo, but not enough. I don't think that warrants a penalty. You can see, yeah, okay, he touches Semedo a little bit, but I wouldn't particularly say that's a penalty. So, I don't think... Obviously, the manager's going to say otherwise. This one, I feel like Dawson's a bit of a lucky boy to get away with a yellow card on this. Yes, Harrison slips, but especially when we see it from the other angle, this one, it does... He ends up just going over the top a little bit, and that's right on Harrison's ankle. Yeah. So, it's another one where the Wolves have been lucky there, I think.
I mean, we've seen this week, haven't we? We've had the links exposed between the BBC, and that's from Match of the Day, by the way, and the government. So, if this American Saudi government thing is in operation, they've been back channeling it.
Mm. It goes all the way to Homes Under the Hammer, does this? Because that was Dion Dublin you could hear agreeing in the background as
really?
Well.
Really?
Who knows if Martin from Homes Under the Hammer is involved as well. I hope to God he's innocent in all this and he's just collateral damage.
He's
in
a national treasure, there's the man.
Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds. At Mint Mobile, we like to do the opposite of what Big Wireless does. They charge you a lot, we charge you a little. So naturally, when they announced they'd be raising their prices due to inflation, we decided to deflate our prices due to not hating you. That's right. We're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month. Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month slows. Full terms at mintmobile.com.
Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free. Or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Millions of people have lost weight with personalized plans from Noom, like Evan, who can't stand salads and still lost 50 pounds.
Salads generally for most people are the easy button, right? For me, that wasn't an option. I never really was a salad guy. That's just not who I am. But Noom worked for me.
Get your personalized plan today at Noom.com. Real Noom user compensated to provide their story. In 4 weeks, the typical Noom user can expect to lose 1 to 2 pounds per week. Individual results may vary.
So, I mean, that's too much of the day, people agreeing. We've got another couple of pundits coming up. Leon Osman is sometimes on, called him Marco Bielsa, didn't he, once? But we'll choose to ignore it. And I never thought I'd say, would anyone like to hear from Michael Owen? Because I would.
Let's do it.
Here we are, from some international coverage.
Well, what you ask for is you get the big decisions right. And I actually thought the referee did that today. I thought the red card was an absolute red card. I don't think there's any other decision to be made there. And I even think that allowing that goal at the end, I think it was really soft contact and Traore was trying to get a free kick because he nearly lost the ball. And I loved what the referee did as well. He went over to the screen. He thought he'd seen a minor touch, went over to the screen and then thought, no, I think it's soft and carried on. And I thought the referee had a very good game. So I think he's just really probably wrapped up in the emotion of a very emotional match his team had just been involved in. But I thought the referee's certainly the part he played was correct.
Yeah, certainly VAR was working perfectly today in terms of changing from a yellow to a red card. I think there will be debate about the foul for the fourth goal. There's definitely a shirt pull. Whether it's enough and it goes back, I know we'll speak to Dermot in a minute, it goes back. There's a touch, but is it enough? There's a shirt pull, but is it enough? Is it enough to really pull him back, stop his momentum? And as you say, as Leon says, the referee's gone to the the screen. He's obviously been able to see the Sherpa, but he's probably thought, do you know what? It's not enough. And I've got no huge problem with that.
Leon Osman and Michael Owen all in on it.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, what? Just before we get onto it, I just want to know what Dave Phillips thinks, that's all.
Unlike the incorrect call in the first half, which I still believe was a penalty.
Still thinks it's a penalty, doesn't
he? Yeah, he does, he does.
It's interesting on the Johnny sending off and Dawson's booking for the one that Harrison had to have stitches in his leg about, that the referee didn't actually give either of them as red cards. It needed VAR to upgrade Johnny's to a yellow, upgrade it to a red from a yellow. He gave them both. He was pretty, if I was going to criticise him from a Leeds perspective, that's two pretty bad tackles. So he was just like, yeah, fine, you can do them again if you want.
Mm.
Yellow card, just have another go at them and see if you take their other leg off if you like. And they were both, I think the Dawson on Harrison one, when he gave it as a yellow, when I saw the replays, I was a bit like, that's a bit close to a red. But when it wasn't given, I was like, nah, yeah, okay. Mm. Bit more annoyed that then Dawson went, wrapped himself around Bamford and put him on the ground straight after.
No.
While Dave Phillips was saying that he's got, like, again, it just doesn't add up how he could be saying that Pat Bamford had gone down far too easily at that point when Dawson was round him like a face-hugging alien, and then Traore should have been we should have had Mark Rocker up. Actually, it should have been, Somerville should have been taken out and dealt with for tugging at his shirt. But yeah, the Dawson one on Harrison, I was like, oh, okay, yeah, that's a pretty bad tackle. Yellow card, he's a bit lucky. Fine.
I think the general mess of that thing, because there was a slip from Harrison, yeah. I think he got away with it for that, probably. Because which is a mitigating factor, isn't it? Because he didn't expect Jack Harrison to be where he was, I guess, because he fell and it all happened very quickly.
Yeah, but I think, I'm just trying to put it in the context of everybody thinking there's this conspiracy against Wolves. You could have just gone right straight red as soon as seeing that on Dawson. And then Johnny as well, live, he could have just given that as a red card straight away if he really had it in for Wolves. But it must have been...
They've got to cover it up, Moscow, you've got to remember.
They're all acting. Was it David Coote on the VAR?
Yeah, yeah.
Famously good actor. Yeah. So he was, make it look believable, give him a yellow, but then we'll upgrade it.
Well, we've already established the government links. Was it China, Saudi,
yeah, and USA, you've got to remember the Saudi US arms deals and stuff that get done too.
Yeah, back-channeling all that.
That and makes then, you think,
so we know that's why they got to the BBC. They also got to the international coverage, presumably because of that international trade deal. They've also got into big podcasting.
Big
as well.
Podcast, yeah, the Football Ramble.
Yeah.
On the face of it, independent, but really?
Well,
do you believe that?
Have a listen to this. I've got a confession for you after this.
Dawson was lucky to stay on, wasn't he? My goodness. I thought that was a... I couldn't believe VAR never looked... Well, maybe they did look at it and they decided not. You know when a player gets a booking and he's just sort of almost like gives the ref a thumbs up. Yeah. No, that's fair. That is definitely fair.
I was very much skirting a line.
You're so good at your job.
Yeah. And let's never talk about any of that. It's done now. Yeah. That's done.
Julian Lopetegui wasn't happy, though, after the game. He said, you could make a book on decisions that have gone against Wolves since he took charge. Well, the Dawson one went for you. But one win in the last six for Wolves.
Yeah, they've had some shocking decisions go against them, to be fair.
I don't think
any of them were in this game.
Yeah, right.
Oh, yeah.
Well, pull it back, lads. Make it seem believable. My confession is that I was sat next to Marcus Speller from the Football Ramble. You know, when we went to the FSA Awards. So I started pouring poison in his ear saying, listen, when the conspiracy reaches Wolves later on in the season, just go with our party line. Make it sound good for Leeds.
The whole reason the Football Supporters Association was set up, wasn't it?
Yeah.
So that conversation could take place 10
Indeed.
Years later.
Indeed.
I think Wolves fans did win something once, actually. I think they won one of the Diversity Awards once, which, again, probably just to keep them happy.
False flag.
Make it seem like...
Every time I say these words, I'm worried about what the algorithm's going to do because they're getting bumped down on YouTube.
Yeah.
Anyway, they not only got to... big podcasting, but the MSM, I believe that the kids call it that these days, are in on it too. This is Robin Cowan from The Guardian.
They have been on. I don't think any of the decisions against them in this game they can really complain about.
No, they can.
Can they?
They can. They complain a lot.
Do you know who disagrees?
Come on, let's hear from Dave.
Surely, Michael Salisbury, if that was a case with the penalty in the first half, why didn't they ask Michael Salisbury to come off and have a look at that one? How costly will that be in the first half, that penalty decision, which doesn't go their way?
Makes you wonder. We do have a revelation, actually, coming. I'm just forward selling for you to stay with us, because big shock plot twist coming up, isn't there? But let's not spoil it just yet. Where should we go next, Michael? Should we go to Dazzling Dave?
Yeah, let's have Dazzling
I feel a bit
Dave.
Sorry for Dazzling Dave, putting him in this, because he seems like a really nice bloke.
He does, doesn't he, really?
And far too reasonable to
And he goes
kids.
With his dad and his mate, and they all seem quite nice. Yeah. But, yeah, he did a vlog from inside the stadium, so it was inevitably funny, unfortunately.
And this starts at half-time and then kind of unravels from there.
Yeah.
Refs lost complete control. Melee at the end. Leeds time-wasting. So from the 6 minute, as I say, holding on to the ball. Melee calls in the middle with the Wolves players trying to get it off. Anyway, 1-0 half-time. We've got to really go for it second half. We need something out of this game, if not the victory. Start of the second half. Who's at the back post? Nobody. There's nobody defending that back post. It's a tap-in, really. And Wolves are 2-0 down. I've absolutely battered Leeds throughout this match, apart from the start of both halves. And they've had two shots and both have gone into the net. And we're 2-0 down in a game that we can't lose.
Oh, yes!
Game over, 3-0.
What are you playing?
To Leeds. I've had three shots on target, pretty much, maybe four. Scored three. Johnny Otto, what is he doing? And guess what? Wolves' fifth sending off of the season. And it's the VAR crew that's done it again. Johnny Otto's gone off, yellow card overturned. We've not had one player send off against them all season. We got back into the game at 3-2, and now they've sent a player off, down to 10 men. Got about 90-something, no, I don't know, 95, 96, Traore's been fouled. The ball's carried on, they've gone through, it's a good finish, but it's a foul. It shouldn't have even got to that stage, but God, what do we expect? Leeds fans obviously are static. And now they're checking for a possible foul, which it is, but I'm not holding my breath. So it's been over. What? Freaking referee! He's absolute. You talk about corruption in this game. It's an absolute joke, this is. And if you're Leeds fans, you're probably laughing at this. Fair enough, I don't mind Leeds as such. He's gone to the thing and he's gone like, absolute joke. And now the ref's red carded, I'm not sure on the bench.
Come on, get into it.
Absolute joke. Referee in this division is pathetic. It's like the Premier League. Do not knock Wolves in the Premier League. And I don't get angry if you watch my channel regularly, I'm calm, but this is ridiculous. I'm having a rant. I don't normally rant, but I'm really angry about that today. I'm really angry about the way that's been reffed and the stuff that's happening to Wolves. It's becoming too much. It's too much.
Wow. That did unravel the VAR crew.
I really like. I don't mind Leeds
as such.
There's a couple of other bits in there that the whole the Premier League don't want Wolves in them thing just doesn't make any sense to me, because I think Wolves are one of the cooler clubs, because they do the disco light show before every game, and so they buy into all the
razzmatazz.
Yeah, yeah, they make a big deal of the Premier League anthem and stuff, and nobody else does ever. Everybody else is a bit embarrassed by it, but Wolves seem to really dig it. Gold Wolves.
Who else has an oily player?
Who else has a Wolf logo and is actually called the Wolves? If you're trying to, it's the marketer's dream. The Premier League would love the entire division to just be full of teams called the Wolves and the Peacocks and the Badger Men and all that kind of stuff.
The Badger Men. It would be, is that Newcastle?
There would be the Fighting Magpies. It's the Kits of Gold. It's all they're a pretty cool club in that respect. And I don't think anybody wants. It's a big city-ish and big stadium-ish when they've sorted it out. They're still trying to. So there's loads of reasons why Wolves are a decent Premier League. You'd want rid of Bournemouth, for crying out loud, first. And when you think as well about the people that the Premier League allows in, like Todd Bowley, do you know anything about football? No, fine, by Chelsea. Saudi Arabia, like, what's your human right? Don't worry about it. Buy Newcastle if
different,
you want.
It's different people.
But they're letting them all in order to get Wolves out.
Are you going to go and buy scum? You already own Paris Saint-Germain? Nah, don't worry about it. I don't think the Premier League really cares to that level unless it's something personal where, because they get together and have those meetings, don't they, where all the chief execs are there. Unless the Wolves one, like, took too many biscuits at a meeting or something. Like, oh, we can't invite him to these again. He just hoovers up the buffet. So if we get Wolves relegated, that might be the conspiracy.
If you remember this point last year, it was exactly a year to the day, wasn't it? We beat Wolves. And the conspiracy then was that the Premier League didn't, or well, whether it's the Premier League or UEFA, I don't know, but there was a conspiracy to keep them out of Europe at this point last year. Mm. Having already kept them out of Europe with the decisions to this point, the focus has now shifted to get them out of the league completely.
Sort of working away, aren't they? Like one goal at a time. Yeah.
But you know how you overcome those conspiracies? Is you get some really good players, a really good manager, you stop arguing with referees so that they're sick of you and want to send you off all the time. Because the Express and Star bozos were saying that as well. It's like, are we victims of the fact that we're always giving it back to referees and stuff? Yeah, probably. I don't think the referees like that.
Occam's razor, you know, the most obvious explanation is normally the right one.
If
you've had five players sent off this year, is it because you're a bit dirty?
Mm, and is it because, you know, you keep screaming at us when we're trying to do a VAR check? Are we a little bit disposed? Like the whole thing with the substitute being sent off, people saying, oh, well, the linesman walked backwards into him. What's he doing there anyway? Why was he in the position where the linesman walked back into him? Because he was screaming loads of abuse at him from 2 yards away, in miles away from the bench.
Outside the technical, not just off the bench, but outside the technical area.
Yeah, so there's probably enough in the general behaviour to say that's a red card without the collision. So there's not really any grounds for overturning it. And it's just kind of, so on the other bits, he said some interesting things about how Leeds play, the fact that we attacked twice, effectively. Once at the start of the first half, so until we made it 1-0, front foot, forward looking, give it to Nyonto, cross, score a goal. And then from that point on, that's the moment where we went, right, cool it, defend this, and we did defend it for the rest of the time. Not sure how I really feel about that, but Gracia said afterwards that was the plan, to get a goal and then stay in the lead. And then second half as well, we started second half, bash, get a goal, 2-0, and then, right, well, we'll really defend this, and it was all good. And then the nobody at the back post, it wasn't only Ayling who got around the back for that goal, but there was the one where you thought Mark Rocker had, was it Rocker? It looked like we'd really badly overhit a corner, and actually it was because Weston McKennie was coming from about 80 yards away. I think we'd spotted that there's some back post ability to profit, because the Wolves,
have they got Jesse Marsh in charge? Hey?
Well, we don't, so that's why there seems to be a little bit more intelligence to our play, and a little bit more, maybe we can start on shooting from free kicks can be the next thing. Because
what did you not like about Pat Bamford's stroke?
What I didn't like about it particularly was the next...
But he took it.
I felt,
has there ever been a free kick with lower expectations?
I felt really sorry for... I felt really sorry for little Brendan Aaronson and all that, because first he wanted to take that and Pat was like, no, the left,
come on, man.
The left foot.
The line is in the crowd.
Got to hit this like a JCB. And then moments later, obviously Brendan Aaronson had the opportunity to play Bamford through. He's like, you didn't let me take that free kick, I'm going to have a shot. And the way Bamford went off at him, he's like, I thought he was going to bury the poor soul in the ground. We need to be nicer to Brendan in general, because Pat isn't being nice to him. So somebody's got to stick up to him. Stop being a big meanie to Brendan. Let him take a free kick. He's not going to score. Probably just as bad as you were, but at least he gets to try.
I was going to say, meanwhile, Max Ferber, who's good at free kicks, stood behind him all going, I don't know what these lads are up to anyway. Do you know what I'm thinking about?
David Phillips.
David Phillips again.
Sorry, that is a free kick on Traore in front of the Leeds bench. He's got a little pull on his shirt.
Oh, not the penalty for once, anyway.
No, he's moved on. I think he does get back to it one more time.
He did bring it up.
Should we get back on to David, actually, talk about the other things we found out about him?
The revelation. That to me feels like the payoff at the end. I don't know about you.
Okay, we'll keep it.
Let's keep
his dark secret.
Build the suspense. Let's return to Always Wolves fan TV, Dazzling Dave, who's now outside the ground then with his old man.
Oh, he's dad. Bless him.
He's sweet, isn't it? The whole thing is sweet.
I find like his relationship with his dad quite nice too. Yeah. But here they are, still being cross.
Regular viewers of this channel will know that we're very measured normally in our response, but I am really, really boiling inside today. and I don't go on a rant, but I feel like it's surfacing and I'm going to pop. But we're going to come on to that in a minute. First of all, we're going to speak to Magic Moss, my dad. How are you doing? What are you thinking?
I say we huffed and puffed again, David. We can't score goals, but we did two silly goals away. But we've got to try and beat these refs because the refs forced the game again. And that VAR, I'm absolutely disgusted with it.
Now, if you're a Leeds fan, you're going to say we're watching this through goalkeeper glasses. Of course we are. We're biased and
does
obviously...
check up on these refs?
Hold on.
Does anybody check up on these refs? Because nobody seems to freaking... I don't, can't understand why nobody checks on those really bad decisions today. And he put Wolves out of the game altogether because that was really bad decision.
We just take a time to warm up, does my dad. But like, let's just rewind and go on
he
to the game.
Point though, hasn't he?
God bless that man. The things he must
who's
have
that
seen
at the end.
That's the other bloke who's with him.
Let your dad speak. Does anybody check on these refs? Somebody should probably be checking what packages they're receiving in the mail. The way this has all been going, checking that there's a policeman outside the front door at all times to prevent any roaming wolves.
He's a very Wolverhampton-y man, though, isn't he?
He is. Yeah,
he's his dad.
Enjoyably so, though, I think.
Yeah,
enjoyably
so.
And then of
cool
course,
names:
Dazzling Dave
and Magic Moss.
And Magic Moss, not noted for going on rants, but then does have a bit of a rant.
And the momentum's going. And then, of course, as what always happens, you know, the VAR, the Premier League, who seem to want Wolves to get relegated, a decision comes in. He's given a yellow. He's gone in on Johnny. I've seen these given. I've seen these not going. But he goes to the monitor. He sends him off. Red card. We're down to 10 men. Wolves, as I say, our fifth sending off of the season. How many opposition players have been sent off against Wolves? Zip, zilt, zero. Last week, Newcastle, penalty through, red card, doesn't get given. We have a thing, we're sent off. That's five games, five players we've had sent off. I'm just like, they just don't want us to win. We carry on playing and being the better side, even with 10 men pushing forward. And then there's a melee. I mean, you know, the 7 minutes of added time. Leeds have been time-wasting from about the 6 minute. And then there's a bit another melee. It's, you know, Traore's brought down. He's gone through. It's a good little finish from Leeds for 4-2. But it's a foul. The VAR, for once, tells the referee again to go to the go to the thing. He goes, he looks at it, and he doesn't overturn it. He does for the Leeds thing, but he doesn't for us. It's 4-2. You know, and Wolves were pushing and we got caught. And it just seems that week after week after week, we're talking about the referee and VAR. We keep talking about it all the time. How is this not evening itself out for Wolves? Even manages to send Nunes off, who's not even on the pitch at full time, and 90 plus whatever it is. He's not even on the pitch and he sent him off. Don't know what's gone on there. So that's six players that we've had sent off. Yeah, and I've got to, and I'm really like, it's a devastating thing. If you're a Leeds fan, you're probably enjoying watching this. Of course you are, and having a laugh. Fair play. I suppose if I was a Wolves fan watching a Leeds thing, you would do. But, you know, as a Wolves fan, we just feel totally aggrieved. Leeds have not won away in forever. Bournemouth came down here, nicked it 1-0. And we've had another relegation rival come to Molineux. And they've scored four goals. They can't even score goals. They've scored four goals. It's ridiculous. It's pathetic. It's an absolute joke. Dad, come back on that.
It is, David. I agree with every word you said.
He's lost for words.
2.5 minute run up. I agree with everything.
He needs a throat pastel. He's not lost for words. He's like, you know, lose to Bournemouth, four goals conceded to Leeds. Not the ref's fault, is it? Not the ref's fault. I'd forgotten about this. There is another reason why. I loved how he kept calling it a melee. There was a melee. Another one that was a goal. And then Wolves were whinging. That was what the melee was. Another reason why the foul, the hideous shirt pull, the attempt to strip Traore naked wasn't given to stop the goal being given was that the VAR monitor was not fully erected.
Mm.
They made Michael Salisbury crouch.
God.
And I think...
Did he have to lie down?
Near enough, because the telly wouldn't... It's on a...
Like a sprung arm, isn't it? Yeah.
Yeah, it's like a Johnny Five from the Short Circuit movies, isn't it? And it has to come up on a... It rotates on a stick.
rotates on a stick. That's,
and it wasn't...
It's gaffer tape to a clothesline.
Well, it seems to be that's what they've got at Wolves. I don't know if they're so like fed up of VAR going against them that they're now sabotaging the equipment, but it wasn't fully extending. It was flaccid. And so Salisbury had to, after waiting to see if it was going to be erected in front of him, decided he would go and meet it at its own level. So he had to crouch down on his haunches and try and... He probably couldn't get a clear view of it that way. So he probably said to Coop in his ears, he's like, look, it's like watching kids' TV when I was a child on the carpet with my elbows and my ankles in the air watching Whackaday or something. He's like, I can't make head and tail of what anybody's done to Traore. If they can't be bothered putting the screen at a reasonable eye level, then no decisions should be given to
them. There hasn't been this much Salisbury-related controversy since those two Russian fellows went to visit, has there? Bloody hell. Regarding goals, I thought that was a good line. Regarding goals, they'd scored 20 before this game. We'd scored 31, and we can't score.
That's 31 points as well, as you've covered many times.
Yeah. Shall we return to our friend Dave, because I think he's still going. Or Philo.
Go on then.
That was the Rodrigo goal, wasn't it?
That was just his reaction seeing it given at the end.
Just like, no!
No!
Oh, dear me.
I hope on future commentaries he's replaced by Dave Benson Phillips.
Yeah.
Well, the first person I went to as well was Dave Benson Phillips when I heard the name, because somehow I just never came across him as a footballer. He was like bang in the middle of me having sticker books and stuff as well. I should have had a swap of him at some point.
Yeah, I had a look before and I recognised him from his stickers.
Did you?
Yeah.
He's just completely
quite an anonymous... Well, let's analyse this. Let's really drill down into it. I recognise him from his stickers in the sense that he fits the image of what I expected him to look like, which is quite an anonymous mid-90s Nottingham Forest midfielder.
Mm.
So whether I'm kind of... It's a trick of my brain that's going like... Because he meets my expectations of what I thought he would look like. I'm like, oh yeah, I remember him. But whether it's just he is like Nigel Jemson, but with a different face, it's sort of like that. But I can...
If someone told you it was Steve Chettle, you'd kind of go,
yeah, probably.
Oh, it probably is.
Yeah, but I do have vague David Phillips memories because I'm sure I remember him playing for Wales vaguely because he may have been in midfield with Gary Speed.
He's got quite a generic name, hasn't he? That's the thing. Mm. Yeah,
It's why David Benson had the right idea of like jazzing it up a little bit with the Benson.
Well, Phillips played, he's always been a Leeds hating bastard because he played in the 1987 FA Cup semi-final at Hillsborough against Coventry. He played for Coventry on that day.
So he won over us that day, so I don't know what his problem is now.
Mm. No, fair point. But
I mean, is he still dining out on anything that happened in that game?
Well, we've also discovered that not only did he play for Forest and Huddersfield, so you can see the things sort of...
Well, yeah, you can see it wasn't very good.
The evidence accumulated. Yeah, so...
I suppose he must have won the FA Cup if he was at Coventry that year, wasn't he? So an FA Cup winner's medal, why doesn't he just be happy?
He should be, shouldn't he? Before we give the big plot twist, then, should we go to Morgan Bricks?
Well, actually, let's hear from a subscriber who got in touch about David Phillips.
Oh, okay.
Let's stick with him. We've got more information. We're building a dossier on him, is what I'm going to say.
David Phillips, who was on the commentary for the international coverage, was actually my primary school's football team coach, and he actually lives about 5 minutes away from me, and I see him around the town quite a lot. So I'll be making sure that I remind him about the penalty when I see him in person. For all the times he mentioned it, I have never been so annoyed at him, and he used to be my coach as well. So it was weird seeing him getting talked about so much, having known him. But yeah, God, he was so biased. I couldn't believe it.
So we got an address?
we're closing in.
I think our friends there won't need to raise the topic with him next time he sees him in Super. You know, sometimes you bump into somebody.
They'll have a sandwich board on, walking around town, ringing a bell.
If they start talking to you before they're within earshot, he'll be like that, come walking towards. Right, and I'll tell you, that should have been a penalty. Hi, Dave.
As you mentioned there, he's a former FA Cup winner, Premier League footballer, and he was coaching a primary school football team.
Right.
Giving back to the community.
It's
one of the rare good things he's done.
Who coached your primary school football team?
Probably one of the teachers.
Yeah, exactly. It was just, I think it was like generically given to the one male member of staff, to be honest, at my primary school.
It was normally a PE teacher, wasn't it?
Well,
it,
you don't even have specific PE teachers at primary school, do you? You just have like...
The show we did.
Did you?
Yeah, maybe.
It was just like your normal teacher made you go into a hall and go
with
up and
a whistle.
Down. And like, yeah, like when you made you go up and down some bars.
Right.
And then you went outside and played an approximation of cricket. But yeah, it must be a good school if you've got a former FA Cup winner.
Yeah, I'd demand some sort of picture or plaque up if that was me, I think.
But yeah, I mean, possibly he was coaching there because of his son. Maybe he was at the school at the time.
Could explain it. We'll come on to his son in a minute. Morgan Bricks, let's, before we go, do Morgan Bricks quickly, because the plot twist concerns his lad, doesn't it? So, Morgan, it's quite difficult to hear this one, isn't it?
Yeah, he's a bit muffled.
Yeah, recorded it on a potato.
You get the idea.
All right, so before we get into the video, I just want to say that I fucking hate Leeds. I fucking hate referees. I hate everything.
I mean, fair enough. We're talking about at the start of the show, way back when, about, you know, destroying the optimism of youth. There it is. Absolutely done it.
I think I preferred I don't mind Leeds as such. I was more comfortable with that.
Dave doesn't hate anyone. He's a nice fella. And I will say, actually, you know, and amongst all the bias and the one-eyed lunacy about the referee, Dazzling Dave does do a show afterwards where they had other people on and they've all calmed down a bit and they're like, yeah, it was a red card, wasn't it? And a couple of people on there were saying, well, it's not, you'd be kind of annoyed if that was given as a penalty against you, wouldn't you? And there's just a stony silence in the room as everyone's like, maybe, I suppose. And just kind of pointing out that they need to maybe try to win some games and defend a bit better as a way of, an alternative way of getting some points.
There is a third way, isn't there?
Yeah, when they're in the ground, he's like, and then we were coming back into it and sure enough, they've sent someone off for a leg-breaking tackle. You can't do anything these days, can you?
Anyway, what did we do to anger Morgan Bricks so much? Let's find out.
Time wasting. Leeds, time wasting. From the very second they scored their first goal, time wasting. It really aggravates me. Cheating, diving, fouling. Mellier got a yellow card in 90 plus 12 minutes, yeah? In 102 minutes, time wasting from the fourth minute. Every time we got the ball, you know, the ball boy putting the ball down, Jimenez putting the ball down for him to take the goal kick. Oh, I'm going to pick it up and move it over here because I'm a wanker. I'm enraged. I am enraged. I hate Leeds. I hate referees. I hate VAR. I hate football.
I mean, fair enough.
We love all that.
We've all been there, haven't we, at some
point?
That's
all brilliant. And if anybody, I think he's talking about the lad in the stand moving the ball at one point. Isn't he, Mr. the Malibu Man?
Yeah.
He prefers to be known. So Rob tracked him down, and it's on our website if you want to read the story, the surprisingly high stakes story.
Jaden Marshall.
Malibu Man is, I think he's happy to be known as. Yeah, the surprisingly high-stakes story of dropping a ball behind a holding and the absolute displeasure he got from all the Wolves stewards for the
next
half hour.
This is why everyone hates Leeds. This is why you're all going down. Like, brilliant.
There's almost a little bit with Brick Smith's relative here that time-wasting from when we went in the lead was kind of noticeable, particularly because we've not really done this since Bielsa came. It's not really been our style at any time to kill matches, but there was definitely that feeling of, and you could see it with the way Nyonto played as well at times, where we were going to, instead of surging over halfway with the ball, he's kind of going like, I'm going to stop, I'm going to let everybody get into shape, I'm going to give it to McKennie, he's going to give it to them, I'm going to get angry about it, and that kind of repeated. So instead of just like going hell for leather, we really were noticeably slowing it down. Mellier, it's a bit hard to judge sometimes because I think it's 50-50 between, he knows he wants to slow the game down a little bit and try to, you know, reduce the game, and also is looking at the rest of the team going like, somebody please give me an option. There's always a bit of a 50-50 with him, but it was noticeable. I can understand why Bricks is all like time wasting from the sixth minute, because you could feel it from a Leeds point of view as that's a new thing for us.
And coming from a Wolves fan who would recognise these things,
to see
them outdone on it must be somewhat heartbreaking.
Well, Connor Cody's doing it with for Deitch now, isn't he? That's where he's doing it. But also, you know, it's an indication maybe how far we've fallen from the heights that we were at, that now we need for the next 10 games to go, isn't there? This is just what we've got to do, try and get in the lead and then just stop everything at that point. It's going to be us until this is safe. And if we can keep pissing opposition fans off along the way, fine.
11 games to go, Moscow. Not just 10, 11.
Christ.
I mean, and the last one is going to be against potentially Ryan Mason-led Spurs.
Oh. Give him it again.
I think it might be. I was texting my Spurs mate last night and he was saying, I think they'll give it to Ryan Mason.
I hope it's still Conte.
Yeah.
Imagine how bored he'll be by then.
Just because they'll have, if they've got 11 games to go as well, 11 more press conferences like that. And then the distiller's like, nope, you got a contract.
You're turning up in flip-flops with a can by the end of the season.
Going full just Steve Evans in the sombrero.
Throwing cans at Harry Kane, but full-time. Fucking hell.
All right, let's wrap the show up then, because we've hit more than an hour.
Bloody hell. At the time these things are quite short when we lose.
Yeah, just nip through. We haven't even done any clips, because the point of the show, which we normally say at the start, but obviously those children at the start were talking about, those old men. They introed it for us. It's the point of hearing what's been said in the football world this week. Because we actually won, we can hear from opposition fans, which is good.
Squareball's been doing this since 1989, before you were even born.
Yes.
Before Jake Humphries invented a podcast.
But we've had no clips from other clubs, have we, just yet? We do have a couple more on Propaganda Extra.
There's a bit more Wolves in it too.
More, there's a bit of Wolves, bit of external stuff.
Same old Spurs, who've decided that they don't want to follow Spurs anymore. Maybe that's how, because they've decided to switch their allegiances to us, not to give the story away, but maybe we could get Conte to do that for next season as well.
I did have a chat to AI as well. There is some AI involved in Propaganda Extra. I asked it why I love Luke Ayling so much, and ChatGTP gave me an answer, which we'll do on Propaganda Extra. However, let's finish on the big dun, 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 revelation about Dave Phillips, the Leeds-hating former Coventry, former Forest, and former Huddersfield co-commentator who was on the worldwide feed. Michael, take it away.
Leeds fan, isn't he? His son.
Yep.
Came across this one because he was tagged in when I was going through his Twitter account.
Proper web stalking.
Trying to find identifying information, checking the tags on his fixtures, I mean, we've got obviously a listener who can track him down to a supermarket or something probably.
Yeah.
Although I know where you buy meat isn't necessarily as much of a threat as I know where you live, is it? But if we can track him down to like a Heron Foods or something
Heron Foods.
In the West Midlands, Farm Foods maybe. I feel like they're Midlandsy supermarkets. But yeah, it was weird actually. I found some footage of
if
this
his
guy.
If his forest, it'll be East Midlands. But
that's true.
Splitting hairs.
Mr. Dawe, who has done a video of the Leeds game, I actually saw myself on his footage. So there's me and David Phillips on one video. Makes you think, doesn't it?
Bloody hell, that's a big revelation.
Because he's in the boxes by the Leeds end.
Is Mr. Dawe? Is he a friend of Mr. Window?
He's a D-O-R-E.
Oh, okay.
But yeah, so David and his son were there. Then his son was tagged in this post of them all in the exec box when it's confessed that he's a Leeds fan. And when you look on Lee Phillips, his son's Twitter account, he spent the day just getting pictures of Leeds players when he was a guest of Nottingham Forest, which is quite nice. It's just full of his Twitter feed is just full of him.
So do we think that Phillips' co-commentary was just he was singularly just trying to wind up his own son?
It's possible. Or he is genuinely annoyed.
Does he resent him for like going
quite possibly
to the dark side as he sees it?
He looks fairly young as his son. I guess he's like mid-20s.
If his handle is correct, I think he was born in 1991. So yeah.
Okay. Oh, is that a full date? Full date of birth?
15/08/91. That's not very clever.
No, it's not a great idea, is it? Mother's maiden name. Stick that in your handle as well.
First pet.
We can probably work out which school he goes to as well, actually, from his dad being the bloody football coach there.
We should stop now before we're doxing somebody completely.
Sorry, Lee.
But if you are listening, Lee.
He probably is, because he's a Leeds fan.
Yeah, you should be. And we're only kidding.
But yeah, I reckon, given his age, he must have been born around the time his dad was playing for like Huddersfield and Forest as well. And from that, he's managed to become a Leeds fan, which I can only think he's done it to annoy his dad.
Which, I mean, is fair enough.
Which is great. Yeah. Which is all respect for him.
Well, there we go. That wraps up an extended Propaganda for this week. Hope you've enjoyed. It'll be back after the international break as well, won't it? And we'll see what that brings. We'll speak to you soon.
The Square Ball Podcast.
Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Hey, it's Paige DeSorbo from Giggly Squad. High quality fashion without the price tag. Say hello to Quince. I'm snagging high-end essentials like cozy cashmere sweaters, sleek leather jackets, fine jewelry, and so much more, with Quince being 50 to 80% less than similar brands. And they partner with factories that prioritize safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. I love that. Luxury quality within reach. Go to quince.com/style to get free shipping and 365-day returns on your next order. Quince.com/style.
Hey, everyone. Craig Robinson here. I want you to check out the Ways to Win podcast, brought to you by Ford and the new 2024 Ford F-150 truck. On Ways to Win, Coach Cal and I will discuss leadership lessons we've learned. We know all about the days spent perfecting your craft outside of the limelight and have knowledge to share about how strength, inspiration, encouragement, and adaptability are the key ingredients to drive toward your dreams. And those same ingredients can be found in the new 2024 Ford F-150 truck. So check out my podcast, Ways to Win, and also check out the new 2024 Ford F-150 truck. Learn more at Ford.com. Built Ford tough, built Ford proud.